Glad to see you in the church this morning as we celebrate Epiphany Sunday, the last Sunday of Christmas season, so to speak. This coming Tuesday is Epiphany Day, 12 days after Christmas. My sermon title that I wrote down, experiencing Epiphany. Now, some of you may say, well, what is Epiphany? What is Epiphany? Experiencing Epiphany, experiencing revelation of Christ. At Christmas, we celebrated His birth, and from Epiphany on, we are committed to follow Him. Not just witnessing Him as a baby, Jesus, but somebody who came down here to save us. We are witnessing His miracles as He performed. So Epiphany Sunday focuses on revelation of Christ to the world. Epiphany and revelation is about the same thing. Today we are moving from intimate manger scene to more like a global stage as we follow Jesus. Sometimes we may use the Magi's journey as an example for seeking God in unexpected places. There's no place in this world where God has not been before. I talked to my friend who's a missionary, and his family was sent to Cameroon, Africa. He said this is first experiences during the first weeks and months were that this is the darkest place in the world. But then little by little, he said, I start seeing that, well, God has already been here. It was God who was welcoming him and his family to Cameroon, Africa, to be missionaries. God was already there. So Epiphany is helping us to see God in unexpected places, finding joy in divine presence, as using our gifts to serve others. This year, I don't know if you have made any New Year's resolutions, decisions to do better here and there, but if you had decided to serve others more than maybe last year or years before, you made good choice, good decision, good resolution, because that's the guarantee that you will have more joy in your life this year as you serve others. So Epiphany message reveals that God's light shines in the ordinary places. It don't need to be a Christmas Eve service or anything special to experience God's presence. That is what Epiphany is all about. Epiphany is not just a one day, one Sunday of the year, but this is a season. And let's talk about that a little bit later in this very short sermon about hour and a half. You are awake. I thought you are not. So Epiphany actually is calling us to see more Christ-centered life. Whose life? In my life and in your life. More Christ-centered life in the life of Berea UMC. More Christ-centered life in the community called Berea, Kentucky. So first of all, Epiphany, it means showing us to see the glory of God in Christ. Hey, wait a minute. Jesus is more than just a little baby who was born in Bethlehem. There's more to it about God's glory in this world. There's more to it, seeing and witnessing miracles performed by Jesus. There's more to it for me to be a Christian believer in this world. This is what Epiphany is calling us into. So today we celebrate Epiphany Sunday. It's a great festival all over the world. Christians follow. For at least 1,500 years ago, Christians have celebrated the manifestations of showing forth of the glory of God in Jesus Christ. Now here in the United States, this coming Tuesday is not a day of or holiday, it's a normal day. But you go back to Europe and some elsewhere, it is a Epiphany day. It's a day off, it's kind of Sunday. It's a festive day. But we are here to celebrate Epiphany Sunday, Jesus Christ, who is the eternal Word of God, says Bible, made flesh. Just a sowing forth of the glory of God in Christ. It takes many, many different forms. So that's the season of Epiphany. Please understand the season of Epiphany we start today. It commemorates many different events. Let me just say a few. Few, of course, first of all, the coming of the three wise men or the three kings. They came from the east, Bible says, to worship at the cradle of the infant Christ. Then there is baptism of Jesus. That'll be next Sunday. Remember baptism of Jesus, and we remember our baptism. You remember your baptism when you were baptized. Then there are other Epiphany celebrations to remember. Jesus, 12 years old, went to Jerusalem to visit first time in the temple, where the learned teachers, you might say doctors of holy readings, they were astonished by his understanding and his answers to them. He was 12 years old. And then there are a series of Jesus' miracles we will be talking about during Epiphany season. First one, changing of water into wine at the wedding at Cana of Galilee. Then there are many, many to follow. The healing of a leper and the centurion's servant were healed. Calming of the stormy sea. Then at the end of this season, Epiphany season, we start looking forward to his second coming when Christ comes back to his church. Not a little baby anymore, but the King of Kings. So there are many different events during the season of Epiphany. Great diversity of commemorations, yet they are all tied together by one common theme, Epiphany of the divine glory of Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, the eternal Word of God, made flesh, who dwelt among us, whose name is Emmanuel. You don't know how thankful I am that Jesus is called Emmanuel. I hope you are too. Emmanuel means that God is with us every single day. It will be sad even we experience his presence here in the service, but then we know that by the time we walk out this place, we are going to leave Jesus behind, because Jesus is going to stay here to see us next Sunday. No. We continue actually worshiping him even we walk out from this place of worship in the ordinary, what we do, you and I. Our worship continues. Our service continues. Our discipleship actually starts and begins after we close the doors behind us. This means that Epiphany make up a continuing meditation upon the meaning of the Christmas miracle. The miracle when God decided to become one of us, Emmanuel, God visible to our human eyes, God audible to our human ears, and God tangible to our human touch. God manifested in human life. God who is restoring and transforming by the grace and truth he brings. The Bible says the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And dwells among us. Stay with us. So let's ask, what can we learn through the remarkable performance of the three kings? Remarkable performance. I think it was remarkable. Here's what the Bible says. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born, the king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him. Please notice, these smart guys didn't say, well, we just randomly happened to find this place and we felt there's something going on here. We don't know what it is, but we are here. No, they didn't say that. They were certain that we are here for one thing, to bow down before him and to worship and adore Jesus who was born. Amen? Amen. If you were confused when you came to church this morning and said, I just happened to come to church, but I don't have no idea what to do there. Maybe it's getting better to you by the time we say hello and we say amen to this service. You are here to thank Jesus that he is and he loves you and he cares for you and he forgives. Am I right? Amen. That is what church is all about. And you have some scores that you have to settle. Guess what? He's the best guy to go to. He's the best person to go to. So going back to these three wise men, they're learned travelers, you might call them. It's been discussed that they were probably from Chaldean. They were probably scientists, astronomers. Who knows? There's very little information about them. We know they were prominent people. They were leaders for sure. They came first to Jerusalem, the royal city. The royal city. If any place is royal in this world, it's Jerusalem. The obvious place to look for the newborn king who was born. But they didn't find him there. And they studied more the holy readings and scriptures, and then they were instructed by the scriptures. They were directed further on to Bethlehem. Wow. I don't know whether they were disappointed or not going, having high expectations going to Jerusalem first, and then they realized there's nothing going on here. And then reading the scriptures, they were guided to Bethlehem. Now there's like a day and night difference between Bethlehem and Jerusalem. Especially at that time, it must have been very, very, very little village. There's not much today even, comparing to Jerusalem. Today, Jerusalem is an urban, big city. But anyway, at that time, the royal town, they were further directed to go to Bethlehem. And it was kind of strange sort of king they found there and place. I hope they were not disappointed. I don't think they were. Because if you are really, 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 really seeking Christ and you find him, I don't think you are disappointed. I wasn't. If you really found Jesus, I don't think he's going to make you disappointed. But this first impression about Christ, they found a little tiny baby child was there. Then there's Mary, his mother, who was maybe 16 years old. But these three kings fell down and they worshiped him right away, says the Bible. So there at the manger, says Bible, they offered their symbolic gifts. There's very special gifts, the Bible says. Acknowledging a king, they offered Jesus incense, which is a symbolic God's presence, describing, symbolizing God's presence. Yes. And then they gave him myrrh, which is the ancient funeral spice, recognizing the mortal human nature of the Son of God, destined to suffer for people and to die on the cross in sacrifice for all humankind. Let me ask you this. If you were a parent, young parent, to your firstborn, and somebody come to see your baby boy and bring him funeral spices, how would you feel about it? How would you feel about it? But yes, it was remarkable performance from these three kings, really. But what was there after all? Let's check it out. What was there after all? What did they see? What was the scene about with the humble manger to communicate, to suggest the divinity and kingship and the sacrificial destiny of the infant Christ? That was there. How was divine glory shown forth there? What was the epiphany all about for these three men? Let me suggest to you this. It was a glory visible only to the eyes of faith. You hear me? Only to the eyes of faith. Faith to see in a helpless infant, little baby boy, who possibly couldn't talk or stutter yet, the Almighty Word of God. The Almighty Word of God. Faith to see the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and Lord of Worlds in a little tiny baby who is so dependent on his mother. To have faith to see that there is more to it. Very Son of God, God of God, Light of Light. And they bow down and they worship and adore Jesus. I believe it was a remarkable performance by these three wise men. But that is, as we believe, the right work of faith that we have, you and I, and the pattern of faith for all of us. You see, you've been called to follow Jesus, not to be in constant visible connection with him. And that's what we are sometimes expecting, am I right? Even would be better if we see something, everything beforehand, then it would convince us to be more faithful believers. But that's not the pattern of our journey, friends. Because it is our faith that bids us find him, helping us to find him. Faith bids us find the Word of God in human words. It is our faith. Faith bids us taste the very life of God in bread and wine, bread and cup, even this morning, as we receive the sacrament, Holy Communion, the Lord's Supper. It is faith that bids us to see Son of God in one another, instead of underestimating or saying lousy words about one another, respecting. And it is faith that helps us to see God's creation in everyone. So through the eyes of these wise men, we can see that Christian life is not just chills and emotional excitement all the time. To us Methodists, it's a good news that it can be sometimes that. Am I right? You can't go wrong if you say sometimes amen, hallelujah. I mean, you don't want the bishop to know it, but you can still say that. No, let it burn. You can say it all the time. But faith is something much more ordinary. It's rather a careful, thoughtful learning the Word of God day by day, year by year. No, it's not boring. There's excitement to it. It is the nutrition of Christian sacraments. By the way, I hereby pronounce it. I made it known from the pulpit. I want this year to be a deeper experience with learning what the sacraments really mean in the Bible. Friends, there's so much more to it. I'm afraid that sometimes we underestimate the power of sacraments. We are victims of wrong teaching. That's not Methodist teaching. We got to learn that there is power with the sacraments, the nutrition of Christian sacraments, and the deeds of love and mercy which flow from the true Christian charity. Every single day I thank you, church, for giving that little tool for your pastor to deal with people at the door, at the parish hall door, at the parish house, who come over asking help. We can help much, but sometimes, many times, our help is critical. It is Christian charity, loving and respecting every human being right there where they are. The life is in the normal, everyday things of the church life. The words of the scripture, prayers and sermons, the outward sign of sacraments. The world sees only human words, only poor and common things, halting human speech. Little bit water and in the baptismal. Well, when I baptize, there's lots of water. Pieces of bread and juice, and so on. But friends, but faith sees much more than that. We have eyes to see in all these things, signing forth the epiphany, the revelation of the Son of God, the miracle of God with us, Emmanuel, the Christmas miracle that we are witnessing every day. There is an old Christian epiphany song. I found it. No, I don't have no clue what the melody is. But listen, sometimes it's easier to sing the song if you don't know the melody, am I right? You have free choice to take whatever route you take. But sometimes if you are singing along with somebody who may not be the greatest singer in the world, that may be suffering, you know what I'm saying? I had a co-worker back in Helsinki. His name is Markku. Let me call him Mark. Great, very talented pastor and preacher and TV evangelist and just a great servant of the Lord. He was lacking at least one gift. That man just couldn't sing. There's no way. And sometimes when I was standing next to Markku and in the worship service or leading or something, and he didn't hesitate to let it burn. I mean, he's just singing every time different melody. I'm telling you, even we were singing the same hymns, this man always created something new. He just couldn't carry a tune. I'm telling you, he just couldn't. So one day we were having a Wednesday noon prayer time. It was a prayer meeting and a big service, actually, in the church. And we prayed, and then sometimes Christian ladies, their moms of the church are very creative. They were aware that Brother Mark cannot sing. His voice is terrible. He can't sing. So they have decided to pray for Marco for better singing voice. And Marco says, I'm ready. I've been suffering from this for long enough, so let's pray for it. And Lord will answer. So here we are, we all gather around him, me on the altar, and then we gather around, and these ladies lay their hands on Marco, and they start praying from their heart for better singing voice for this man. And it took a while to pray, and then they said, okay, let's try it. And then we tried, and this man tried to sing the first verse of the Amazing Grace. You all know what that, everybody should know. I'm telling you, that was a something else to hear. So they decided, okay, God hasn't responded yet. But we continue praying. As far as I know, he still cannot sing. I'm telling you, he just can't sing. But he's singing every time, from the first note to the last one. Every time different note. But here's the words of this Epiphany song. Listen to this. Fear not to enter his courts in the slenderness of the poor wealth thou canst reckon as shine. Truth in its beauty and love in its tenderness, these are the offerings to lay on his sign, or on his shrine, excuse me. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Bow down before him, his glory proclaim. Gold of obedience and incense of lowliness, bring and adore him, the Lord in his name. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.